Okay, with a sniffle and a chortle and a snudge, there's your prank here. And Robert in the chair across from me. It is another fishing report. Robert, why didn't we do one last week? And neither one of us can remember what happened.
Yeah, I don't know why.
You know.
One of those days.
I think fortunately and unfortunately, the store sometimes gets really busy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like wonderful because that's actually how we make a living in the store, but sometimes it makes it hard to do this.
It's that blessing and a curse kind of thing.
Yeah, because we like doing the fishing report. And yes, I get a little frustrated now and again, but you know what? It's 35 years. You know.
Yeah.
35 years walking in the same doors, and I forget how many tens of thousands of times I've walked in and out of here, but it's a lot.
A lot. Yeah. Pretty staggering, really.
I think we're both pretty damn cheerful. We do pretty good most of the time.
Most of the time.
Not everybody. Not every day. Not all the time. But, yeah, you know, a lot of the times. You know, we're doing better than the one political party in Iowa. At least we can figure out how to do our stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I guarantee we don't have the budget they do.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So. It's crazy. It's staggering.
Yeah. I mean, if I can figure out how to do all this at my age, like, come on. Yeah. Maybe they need to hire a 13-year-old to help them figure it all out.
Right.
Anyway, let's see. Iowa, we love you. We know who we are. We know you guys are good people. So, you know, had a person from Iowa in the store, and I felt so bad. They were like, oh, they were embarrassed to be from Iowa. I said, screw that. Not your embarrassment. You guys work hard. You do the right thing. You might want to become independents, but, you know, join me. I'm pushing for everybody to register as an independent. You know, we catch more fish. We have more fun.
Right.
I wouldn't join a bullet. I mean, what? I mean, thinking about it, why would I want to join a political party that would have me as a member? Isn't that what they always say?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I mean... I think they're both nuts. All right. Anyway, up on the Peace River, do we have, you know, redfish, bluefish, peakfish?
Honestly, the main things I've been hearing about are the snook and the tarpon have been pretty active this past week, even with this frontal system that came through. And guys are coming in from as far as Zofo Springs all the way to the Harbor Heights area and buying swim baits of all sizes, catching snook and juvenile tarpon, even a few gar while doing that too. You know, it's kind of funny, a couple of pictures that I saw, the guy had like a 3-foot, you know, Florida gar with a spool tech hanging out of its mouth. Like, that's pretty cool. He's like, yeah, but it beat my lure up pretty good. I'm like, that's all right. How often do you catch a gar on a lure? He says, I hook them all the time, I just never land them.
And he got in a spool tech, huh?
Yeah, a 6-inch spool tech. Wow. It was pretty cool. Said he's just rolling them real slow along the bottom. Same with the guys catching some of those tarpon. They're just dragging them really slow right along the bottom and hooking some 10 to 50 pounders.
You know what I would like to try up there? The spool tech's a great bait, no doubt about that. But I think if I was going to do it, I'd try that long gambler swim bait.
Oh, yeah.
That gambler's, I've sold quite a few of those when I show the guys where they are, because they're always down by your ankles on the right. Wall over there. But
right.
Guys look good. Yeah, that's a nice looking bait.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a fun one to try.
Not sure if it would work. I just think, you know, if I was going to go up there and try with the swim baits, I would have three. I would have a spool tech. I would have the Storm Rage Tail, Rage mm-hmm. Swimmer, the big one,
mm-hmm.
and the gambler. You know, be kind of nice, you know, to stick a couple lines out behind the boat and just slow troll along with them.
There you go. It might not be a bad idea.
Well, when you're casting them, I mean, you've still got time in the air coming up, going out.
Right.
Yeah, trolling them, it's there.
Right.
You know, if you had a decent bottom machine, the hard part about it is getting the baits to follow the contour of the bottom, or right, letting the line out, bringing the line in. That's tough.
Yeah, that's a really tough one.
Because the only way you know if you're on the bottom is if you see the rod tips start jumping when the bait's snagging the bottom and bouncing up.
Bouncing off of it, yeah.
So, still would be interesting.
That would be.
Let me see here.
I might try to get out there on Monday. Richie was saying something. He was going to go out there and try to play with them again, so he invited me, so I might go do that.
So you're going to head up there with Richie, see what goes on?
Yeah, yeah. He's pretty sure he doesn't have anybody to take with him on Monday, so he asked if I'd go, and I'm like, okay, he's fun to fish with.
Oh, yeah, you guys fish together quite a bit, don't you?
Yeah. I'd say we've probably fished about 10 or 12 times, which...
Yeah. A lot.
Hey, I can count literally on maybe both hands in 20 years customers that I've fished with once, and I can only count on one hand customers I've fished with twice. You know, he doesn't ask for any information. We just chat and have a good time. And so it's not like I'm having to be the guide and whatever. So it's just nice. It's
weird. They say, oh, I want to go fishing with you. And then you wait and they say, so you can teach me this and you can teach me that. It's like, yeah, okay, they want to go fishing with Fish and Frank Robert, not Robert.
Right, exactly.
Kind of annoying.
It is. Yeah, that's why, I mean, and you warned me of that years ago and bit me a couple different times and okay. I'm good with it, though.
I mean, they're nice people, but they don't get. It's like, I don't know, like somebody saying, well, I want to play guitar with you. In the back of their mind, they're thinking, I want to play guitar with Jimmy Page.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
It's not that they want to play guitar with Jimmy Page. They want to play guitar with Jimmy Page. You know?
Yeah.
God, they're like, all right, I-75.
Honestly, that's been really quiet. The only thing I heard of was some small snook and a few redfish on the northbound side. It's been a little strange there. Strangely quiet this week.
Can't be good all the time everywhere.
No.
Boy, that's some of the worst spelling I've ever done. One O in the snook, two D's on the red, and H-T-E, of course. Oh, what the heck's wrong with? Alright. I tell a guy, I keep telling him, HTE is not a code. For some reason, that's why my fingers type the. I don't know what it is. It's not a code. There's no secret. You know, it's not. You don't run the Beatles album backwards to try to figure out what's going on. I just don't do this.
Nice.
Alright. Yeah.
That's funny.
When you read my spelling backwards, it does give you the meaning of life and the codex to translating the Mayan language. But,
nice.
The 41 bridge.
That was good. That was a reach. I like that. 41 bridge has actually been doing fairly decent. They're catching some small trout between the power lines and around the bridges. They've been catching a few sheep's head there, also along the pilings and the bumpers along the bridge with a few black drum. And then there's been a handful of guys that have been catching both snook and a few small redfish on both the northbound side and the southbound side along the seawalls. And then they're seeing other fish of different sizes, but not hooking anything. Guys were trying to describe fish, and one guy described a black drum, and another guy described a tarpon, so it's hard to say what they're seeing over there, but they're seeing some fairly decent sized fish swimming around. It's always fun when they try to describe a shadow.
Interpreting the shadow, I think, is as much or more fun.
Oh, yeah.
But it's surprising how well, after all these years, you can interpret. And, you know, you've heard people describe stuff so much, and you've seen it yourself. So it's amazing how often I believe we get it right.
Yeah. Yeah, the only one that still is always tough is lures. It's white, it's about this long, you show them everything white that long, and then they point to the one that's twice as big. Yeah. And completely different than what they were describing. So that one I've never been able to quite have the confidence in until
I run about 7 out of 10 on the lures.
Yeah, more like 50-50.
Some of them are so bad at it. I mean, it's hard and it's soft, and but it's got a soft tail on it. Turns out they're talking about a jig head. You know,
yeah,
a curl tail with a jig head in it or something, but really no comprehensive way to figure out what they're saying.
Yeah.
Most of the people I kind of get, and I can, like I say, I run about 7 out of 10, I would say, 7 to 8 out of 10.
But yeah, no, I'm probably 50. It's a tricky one sometimes, but I just patiently walk through and try to get the best description I can and point out what it can, and hey, a lot of times it works, or they find an alternative that's similar.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of different stuff, because when I'm looking at the lures, like, if I have in Bass Assassin a certain worm, plastic worm, I'm not going to buy the same thing again in a Zoom or another brand just because you're going to have a different package.
Right.
You know, I can't carry every package of every brand, but we can carry all the different styles of stuff, just not in every different looking package. When you open up the bag, they all look alike.
Right.
I think most of them are made in the same place from the same stuff, you know? Yeah,
more than likely.
Lashley Pier.
Let's see. That's had a few snook being caught off it, especially at the very beginning. And then a couple of sheep's head. And then a couple guys have been even catching a few small trout. Not great numbers, but they're at least bending a rod and having a good time. Guess the weekends have been a little tough to get down there because of all the different events that go on at the park itself, so a lot of guys are trying to get there during the weekdays.
Yeah, well, that figures, because this is the time of year everybody wants, you know, the tourist dollars.
Right.
And they're all banging in to see how much of that tourist money they can get for whatever festival, or, you know, they're all trying to put on stuff so they get tourists to come in and spend money.
Right. Which is understandable, but still,
but it's like, it's all over at Easter, guys. Easter, there won't be any more festivals, there won't be any more shows. Everything goes back to normal after Easter.
Exactly. Makes it a lot nicer.
So, yeah, all that nonsense is over here in the next couple of weeks anyway. So, Bayshore Pier?
Ron says they're catching a couple of small sharks still. Somebody hooked a nice cobia there the other day, he was telling me. And he said they've been catching a few oddball ladyfish and a couple of trout of assorted sizes down there. Says a couple of guys have been fishing at night, but just the occasional small, tiny snook under the dock, and that's about it. But he said it's been decent. He wouldn't say it's phenomenal, but he said it's been pretty decent.
Yeah, did you notice how quickly we gave up on the star issue?
Right. Oh, yeah, because we keep forgetting about that. Darn it.
I just think it's funny. I was waiting to see if you were going to bring it back.
Yeah. Crap.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody noticed it anyway.
Right.
I don't remember, but it was somewhere between 600 and 800 people a day look at the fishing report every day.
Really?
And it's so hard because, you know, we try and get this stuff, but it is something we do in our spare time.
Right. Okay?
Port Charlotte canals.
Depending on which canal you're in, they're doing pretty good. Been some juvenile tarpon over there off the Ackerman and Manchester Waterway. Black drum. Been some small jacks in that pound to 3 pound range. And then around the beach complex, they've been getting some jacks and some small snook and even an occasional redfish. Been a lot of people coming in here that have been kayak fishing all through those canals because it's been so windy. They've been just kind of jumping in their little kayaks and tootling around and having a good time. A few mangrove snapper and a couple sand brims still too. I've been seeing a couple pictures of them. So it's pretty good.
Snappers and what?
Sand brim.
Isn't it amazing how I believe it was this fishing report that put sand brim back on the fisherman's map after so many years of nobody, you know, because you never hear about them.
Right. And,
you know, if you go to a lake, say in Pennsylvania, that guy fished there, his dad fished there, his grandpa fished there, and they know all the fish. They know their names. But you come to Florida, you got somebody who's been here 3 days asking somebody who's been here 3 weeks what's going on, and the person who's been here 3 weeks was asking somebody who was here 3 days.
Right.
They don't know about all that stuff. It's not until you drill down, and the people listening to this podcasts and reading the fishing reports and asking questions, they're learning about sand bream and some of these other fish that we have. And I think this report is solely responsible for that.
Oh, there's, I'm sure it put a huge spotlight back on them.
As well as some other fish.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's just kind of funny. It's the only comprehensive thing to find out what goes on down here. Because when you go to the talks and you hear the captains and all these experts talk, all they ever talk about is snook and redfish. Maybe some jacks or something like that. But basically, they got about a 3-fish vocabulary.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Well, those are the money fish, and that's why.
Yeah.
You know, if they're a charter boat guy, they want the money fish. They want the ones that people hear about up north, and they want to, you know, be able to go out and, you know, get them their big snook and redfish, and that's all cool. But there's a lot of other fish here. What Josh Olive figure out? 270 species of critters in Charlotte Harbor?
Something like that. It was crazy.
So I got to teach Josh to do this so that that way when I'm sick, you guys still have somebody to go with.
Right. That's not a bad idea.
Because he's one that's, he's smart enough, he can figure this out.
Yeah, that would be a good one for him to learn.
You're way smart enough, you just can't see it.
Right.
So, Elder Bean, what's going on, Elder Bean?
Let's see, they've been getting some sheep's head off of there. Not numbers, but pretty decent quality. A couple guys have been getting some 16, 17 inches off of there. Been a few mangrove snapper, a couple of trout. A couple guys have been catching some snook in the early evenings and first thing in the morning. And then the...
I wrote bigger fish. Let me make sure it's bigger. Yeah, it is.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, wow. I still can't get over that bunch of freaking morons. Yeah. If you're that nutty, that politically correct, don't listen to my podcast.
Right.
You know, yes. Don't read my fishing reports. You know, basically, you know, if you're a good person and you, you know, I don't care what race, religion, you know, political party, we love you all. We've got Democrats, independents, Republicans, everybody works here. Bunch of different races, and we got guys with, you know, physical disabilities. You know, it, we're all a group.
Yeah.
But if that's how you run your life, where you think a misspelled word is a big deal, I don't want you for a customer. I really don't. I'm poor now. Nobody's going to stick a trailer in my butt, and I don't get to take it with me when I die. So I don't care about the money. It means nothing. I want good, friendly people. I love our customers, man. It's the only thing that's kept me here all the years.
Absolutely.
How many years did I not get paid working here and work my ass off and not get paid? But
long time.
I've got great customers. They're wonderful people. They're extraordinarily nice and just wonderful. I mean, it's amazing. So yeah, I'm selective by at this point. Well, I always was.
I say, really?
That's why I don't have any money some years.
That's changed?
Yeah, no, I'm probably not going to do a lot of changing.
Nah, you're going to live and die by your own rules.
Yeah, the wife and I had kind of an argument going the other day. We were getting into it pretty hot and heavy, and I'm looking at her going, what part of me has changed?
Right.
You know, I'm older and slower and weirder, but yeah, other than that, I'm still the same jerk I always was. Fish break with Roberts Thursday morning. We're going to or Tuesday morning, 8 a.m. It's going to start on the 18th. Everybody wants to know what Robert thinks about the fish. So you're going to be able to come down. I'm buying a coffee pot. We're going to put some coffee out there, you know, maybe some bottled water or whatever. We're going to talk to the hot dog guy about, you know, making some breakfast sandwiches and stuff. But very informal, topped off with about a 15, you know. Wow, is that bad spelling. Sheephead was H-E-G-A-A-D.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, you'll be able to come down Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock, chat with Robert, kind of a little social get-together, meet and greet with Robert, just chat, and then he's going to do a little fishing report, and everybody goes on about their days. 8 o'clock, 8 a.m. on Tuesday, starting on the 18th. So
watch the seminar. Should be fun.
It's something a little different.
And yeah, it is.
The reason I did it is literally everybody wants to talk to Robert. I know you're humble and all that crap, but literally everybody wants to know Robert's opinion about where the fish are, because Robert's got the best information all the time. And, you know, he's just in touch with everybody, talks to everybody. So if you want to keep up on what's going on, Tuesday mornings, 8 a.m., there's no charge. Just show up, listen. I'm sure some days it'll be packed and some days there won't be anybody there. But I think it's one of my better ideas. I really do. Because All anybody asks me is, hey, Frank, what's Robert say about this fish or that fish? You know? I'm like, cool. So, anyway, Myakka River area.
Oh, let's see. The upper Myakka, I got some really good reports from a couple guys. They're getting a lot of snook and a few redfish up there towards the 41 bridge on the Myakka. All the way up to, like, Snook Haven area. You know, that's pretty cool to get two different gentlemen that are fishing that area having a good time. A couple guys are seeing some tarpon rolling up in there too, but not hooking them. And then down there in the Myakka cutoff, there's quite a few scattered little redfish, little trout, and hodgepodge of snook, mainly on the north end. Not a lot of guys have been going way up inside the Myakka cutoff. Which I don't understand why. A couple of guys have been saying that it was too skinny, but I think they're just not familiar with it because we weren't having any exceptional low tides last week that I'm aware of.
Oh, yeah, we had a few. Looked out behind the house. It's the only cool thing about the canal. I've got certain markers, this broken branch, this rock, you know, that I can see where the seawalls are.
Mm-hmm.
We had about 2-3 days where it was way down there.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it didn't seem like it was that low reading tide chart, and the wind didn't seem...
I don't know what it was, but there was 2-3 days in the last week where I looked outside and went, wow, that's a lot of mud.
Okay.
Because in the cutoff, 4 inches is huge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That might as well be a mile.
Yeah, 4 inches is, you know, getting in and getting out.
Yeah.
Over 2-4 inches. So,
yeah,
it's real critical up there. So I can understand what they said. But my cutoff is never deep. Should be allowed. They need to allow me to dredge this harbor out to make it fish better, everything flow smoother. You know, we limit nature to this little area, and then we're not willing to help it. We build houses and use up the water so there's no artesian wells flowing, but yet we don't go and clean the creeks out. You know,
right.
We change the environment, but say, oh, nature has to take care of itself. It's not fair. You know, let those of us who know what the hell we're doing go in there, clean it up, work it up, fix it up, block it off so nobody can get in, just the fish. Let them have their own private spots, you know, because you can't get a boat in most of these places now.
Right.
So why would we give access to people who won't pay attention to idle speed? They're going to jump up and plane and ruin a month's worth of work.
Right.
So, and, you know, just one of those things. We could do so much if I had the chance right now where I could be emperor of Florida. I would literally shut down the commercial landing of mullet anywhere on the west coast of Florida. I would send barges and, you know, backhoes out to re-landscape a lot of the back and the flats and the Myakka cutoff and all the creeks. Give the fish a lot more habitat, a lot more area. We would literally, in 3 years, have twice the fish we have now. At least. And I would say it would at least double the numbers, but that would be my minimum bet. I would say, realistically, 4 times the fish, 5 times the fish.
I think it would definitely help in a profound way.
So, anyway, South Gulf Cove Canals, got an email from a guy telling me, well, how come we're not, you know, you don't talk about all these great things? I said, because nobody talks about it.
Yeah, nobody calls us and tells us.
Nobody comes in from South Gulf Cove and talks to us about what's going on out there.
I mean, they have a wonderful fishing club.
An amazing group. Robert and I have spoke out there a few times. Literally, phenomenal area. It's gorgeous back there. There's hundreds of houses. There's wonderful people. But, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, did it make a noise?
Right, exactly. So, and that goes to zero for today, too, because I got nothing, unfortunately.
Know, we know there's good fishing back there in South Gulf Cove, but, you know, unless somebody's telling us about it, you know, give Robert a call. Call the store. Say, can I talk to Robert?
Absolutely. I always want to hear about it.
941-625-3888 is Fish and Frank's number. West Wall and Creeks.
A lot of redfish and a lot of little snook scattered on the outer edges. The redfish are actually outsizing most of the snook that I'm hearing about over there. Been a lot of those 15 to 20 inch snook, but there's been a lot of those 18 to 28 inch redfish. And then if you move into the creeks, they're all just small, tiny redfish. It's kind of funny, I haven't heard of any big snook over there this past week, which is 50-50 most of the time, but usually get guys saying that they're seeing them. And be careful about that halfway point, pretty much out in front of the radio tower. There's been several people telling me that there's a dozen or so manatees that are hanging just on the outside edge of the bar. So one guy was freaked out because he thought he was going to hit him because it's like 12 or 15 just went all different directions around his boat, and he kind of panicked, which I would too.
Oh, but, and they're the dumbest creature on God's green earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they're subscribers to the Korean religion, where if you jump in front of a moving vehicle, it will, the evil spirits behind you are taken away by the vehicle.
Right.
Because I'll be going along and they have all the open water in the world on one way, and if I go by, say, 100 feet away from them, I've had them run right in front of the boat, and they are fast. People don't think manatees are fast. They are really fast. I mean, 30-some mile-an-hour swimmers.
Yeah.
Short burst, mind you, but and they, wow, do they go quick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and all you can do when you see them coming is you have two choices. Hit the trim and the jack plate and try and slide over, slide across without doing any damage, or, you know, pull that throttle all the way back while you're hitting the trim and the jack plate. Because you don't want to hit them with the motor. Sliding on them with the boat is not a big deal, but, you know, getting them with that front edge of the motor or the prop, that's where the problems are big into.
Right.
And, man, it's tough. You got to be right on those buttons, raising and tilting all at the same time, you know. Trying to, you know, and you have two choices. Do you back off and drop the boat in on them? Or do you hit the throttle as hard as you can and try and skim over the top?
Yeah, I think
it's
like
going across the sandbar. You know, you got two choices. You know, you raise the motor, trim the motor, try and get that out of the way, and then are you going to nail the throttle and try and be above them? If you back off the throttle, you're dropping into the water on them.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to try to slide over. That would be my...
Well, you,
my way.
I'm just saying it's one or the other. I don't know which one would be better or worse.
I think it depends on probably the spot where I'm at, knowing the bottom there and the contours and everything.
And the depth.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Salute.
Goodness.
This cold is brutal on everybody.
Yeah, I got sick. Cigarette and a dog. Alright.
Sorry, I did watch Sesame Street, but I don't like to share colds.
Yeah.
I don't wish that upon really anybody.
So. Jesus.
You're doing pretty good, though. Doing better than most.
Alright. Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay.
Let's see. There's been a lot of redfish in Muddy Bay. Had quite a, well, two guys in particular have been doing fairly well in there. Both on shrimp and on the Z-Man. Where'd it go? The Z-Man, the little jerk. It's like a weird paddle tail looking thing. Can't remember the name of it, but Z-Man soft plastic. And the on top of Cape Hayes, I've been getting some trout. There's been a couple of ladyfish. You know, it's been a little quiet on top of Cape Hayes in general. But the grass is looking good. A couple guys have been talking about that. I'm seeing a lot of pinfish and small little bait fish swimming all over on that flat there. So that's, it's always a good thing to hear.
Yeah.
Even if the fishing's a drag, at least they're seeing life and activity.
Yeah, I've got a... This week, I pretty much decided I'm going to call, get my commercial license back and go out catching bait again. The only thing I don't want to do is that damn monthly report.
Yeah, but that's...
If it wasn't for that, it would be so easy. If it was... If I didn't go, you don't do a report. If you go, you do a report. But you have to do a report every month whether you go or not.
Right. Yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah, just more paperwork and... God, I hate that. So, anyway. Bull bait. Turtle bay.
Lots of trout. Quite a few redfish and snook scattered throughout the whole area. And then there's a bunch of sheep's head up underneath the mangroves and underneath the shacks. And they've also been catching quite a few sheep's head right there in the Charlotte Harborside entrance to Bull Bay and in Gallagher's Cut. The weird part is you talk to three guys. One guy does incredible. The other two guys say they did horrible. It's been a real oddball thing in there with the fishermen that are going in there. And it seems like it doesn't matter what time of day it is. Just one guy did incredible and the other two did either mediocre or lousy. And it's kind of been the consistent report for a lot of areas for that matter.
And people asking me, you know, how's the fishing? How's the fishing? Well, the fishing's good. It's not great. It's not bad. It is good. It's not like you're going to go out and you have the possibility to go out having a day, the day of a lifetime, one day that you'll never forget. But you're most, and you have the possibility of going out and not catching anything. But most of the people are just, they're having okay to good days.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, it's nothing to brag about right now. But I've seen the weather in the rest of the country. I'd rather be having a mediocre day on Charlotte Harbor than be in almost any other part of this United States of America.
Right. You know I think the one great thing, though, that is going on with the fishing is, you know, the amount of bigger redfish that we're hearing about, you know, because, I mean, it's like you talked about, everyone's got that prestigious fish of the snook, redfish, trout, junk. Not junk, but you know what I mean, too high of a pedestal. But to see the redfish come back from their non-existence to having so many large redfish scattered in so many areas this time of year, it's cool.
We are going to see more and more of that, because the more they release these, you know, hatchery raised fish, the more redfish are not going to know what to do. They're not being born and instinctively work with the school and go back to where they were hatched to catch up with the older adults to go on their pelagic runs. You know, go to the Carolinas or Massachusetts or Louisiana or wherever they would go. And
start having more and more year-round residents rather than nomads.
This is going to be the first. We've seen it over the years, and we know how many hatchery fish have been left before. And I would say it's probably 10 to 20% of them just end up living here. It could be as high as 50%, but I'm going to be conservative and say 10 to 20% of the hatching redfish don't leave. Now, snook don't leave until they get like 40 inches or bigger. Then they seem to go wandering around. Like me, I got older, I bought a Winnebago, you know?
Right.
But it's... I believe truly, there's no other explanation for the weird half redfish, half drum we've seen. There's all the year round redfish that are staying here. It's the only thing that makes sense, because if these fish were born and hatched and raised and met with schools and coming and going and like they're supposed to, we wouldn't have that. Right. It's the only thing that was out of the ordinary were hatchery fish.
Makes a little bit of sense.
So
be curious to know what that is, because I'm sure they tag some of those fish.
They've tagged almost all of them.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
They tagged a lot of them, so.
That'd be kind of cool. Like to see that data in a couple of years.
And several of them have those radio tags, the transmitter tags.
Yeah.
So they're seeing what they're doing that way, too.
Nice.
KPA's Danger Reef.
I got nothing.
Okay. Big shout out to Ingman Marine for all your work with the CCA. I'm not a fan of the CCA. I think they're a bunch of pompous fools. But,
yeah. But Ingman Marine, what they've done for the Charlotte County chapter, absolutely amazing.
But I do believe if it wasn't for Ingman Marine, Gary Ingman and those people up there, they would have never done it.
Oh, no.
Nothing would happen here. And it's the money, the influence, the working, the amount of paperwork they do. Ingman has thrown a lot into this. Ingman Marine is a big boat dealership up by 776 and 41. But they are the driving force behind this. Gary Ingman has put a lot into it. And whether you love him as a marina or hate him as a marina or don't know him as a marina, got to give him a lot of credit. I mean, you know, not many people will put the resources and effort, time, money into something like this. And Ingman Marine is doing it. So if you're going by there, go in and say, hey, thank you guys for all you've done for Charlotte County. Thousands of hatchling fish, snook and redfish, reefs, grass stuff. I mean, they're really on it. Got to say, we're lucky to have Ingman Marine down here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I ever thought I would say the words about a boat dealership, but I'm going to say flat out we're lucky to have Ingman Marine here.
Yeah.
So, Gasparilla Sound?
Oh, let's see. From devilfish all the way to catfish, that whole area, whether you're in 6 feet of water or right up against the bushes, yeah. Sheep's head all over some of the oyster patches, the clam lease, and along the bushes. You got trout scattered throughout the open water area with some ladyfish and a couple of incidental Spanish mackerel. One guy actually caught two black tips in there, about pretty substantial size, like 4 to 5 foot, roughly guessing by his photograph of the one next to the boat. And then you got quite a few snook and redfish all along the shoreline and even up into Widden and Catfish Creek in general. It's pretty fishy down there. You know, lots of little bait fish everywhere, of assorted sizes, from the stereotypical white bait to pinfish to glass minnows. It's kind of a mixed barrage down there. Even the white pelicans, I guess, have been, even though that's their roosting area, that one island, you know, they're not a diving bird. They kind of herd fish into the shallows and then scoop them up. And I guess they've been hanging out real heavy in that whole bay area on both sides, the Boca Grande and the mainland side.
Do we have good numbers of white pelicans right now?
Yeah,
a lot of them. If you have not been out and seen the white pelicans, it's literally when they all get in the air and there's hundreds of them
flying, it's awesome.
And they seem to like swoop and dive. They kind of look like an Air Force display.
Yeah,
you know, it's like almost watching an air show
as they go through the air.
And then to watch them when they're on the flats, and don't run close where you scare them. Stay back a ways and watch. You know, let them alone. They're out there doing their thing, but stay back from the pelicans and watch them. Because they'll all get in kind of a line, and then there'll be some up forward of them, and they just kind of push all the food. They kind of, I don't know.
Corral them almost.
Yeah, it's really weird to watch them work and the way they eat, because they don't dive into the water the way a brown pelican does.
No.
And they're big.
They're really big. They're like, well, I'd have to put them at probably 50% bigger than a brown pelican.
Yeah.
They're giant.
I mean, it's literally amazing to watch, but the way you watch them is from a distance. If you've got to get that close, stay the hell away from them.
Yeah, buy a set of binoculars.
Yeah, just stay back, you know, where you can see them. You don't have to be that close. That's, you know, it's rude. If you're sitting in a restaurant and somebody, you know, comes up and leans on you in the booth while you're trying to have a meal, would you like that?
Right.
And that's what you're doing. And you're literally going up to where they're eating and pushing yourself in. And it's just rude. You know, they're a creature. They deserve their own space. So stay back and watch them. And then all of a sudden they'll take off and go to fly. And oh my God, is that spectacular.
It is. That's really, really cool. I've never gotten to see them actually take off. I've just seen them the few times when they've already left and are up in the air. And it's pretty, pretty neat.
They're kind of neat because they're pretty big, and when they go to get out of the water, it takes a lot of effort.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
You know, get that big butt up in the air and going. I mean, that's, you know, they're Cardassian size trying to get out of the water, you know? It's pretty cool to watch. All right. Little Gasparilla Pass, the Placida Trestle.
A lot of sheep's head. Guys are mostly focused on all the sheep's head that they've been throughout that whole area. Under the docks, on the old railroad trestle. There has been a few incidental bonnethead sharks, a couple of small bluefish, and a couple Spanish mackerel, but the vast majority of everybody's really beating up the sheep's head pretty well down there.
Okay. Remind me to put the pad on this so it doesn't make all this noise. I'm going to buy one.
Okay.
I just bought all headset mics for the studio.
Yeah, Josh was saying they seemed all right.
Yeah. You know, I needed somebody with better ears than mine because my hearing isn't very good anymore. And so I don't hear the nuances that Josh can hear.
Right.
So with Josh, Chandler, and these guys, they actually, you know, can hear if this is the tones and all that, you know, so I gotta have it cranked up so loud. All right, Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay's got quite a few trout in it. Been hearing some decent redfish up inside there. The snook have gotten real quiet this week, though. I haven't had much reports for snook. And then a handful of guys have been doing well on some jacks. Scattered throughout the whole intercoastal, especially that miserable mile section. And I've heard of quite a few small gags that guys have been catching while they're trout fishing up in there.
You know, on drifting. The flats?
Yeah, little gags, like 10, 15 inches. Guys bringing them pictures asking if that's a gag or a black or a jewfish. You know, I've seen at least 4 or 5 different pictures in the past probably 10 days of baby gags up there.
Well, at least now we know that. Cold weather, the gags are, they've got to spawn out somewhere around October.
Right.
Or August. Maybe July, August.
I think it's August, I think, is when
because
they do.
Because for that to be, how big are you seeing them?
8 to 12 inches.
Yeah, that's somewhere last spring, summer, that because they can grow, like redfish will grow 14 inches in a year.
Right.
Snook only grow about 4 to 6. But redfish can grow up to 14 inches in a year.
That's pretty good.
It's a lot.
It is.
So.
It's just kind of nice to hear.
It's like, have you seen the people come in with their kids now and they're like, you know, you're looking at it thinking, oh, the 8-year-old kid and it's 5.
Right.
You know, my grandson was like that. Everybody would think he was just kind of retarded or something, or mental disabilities, or what's politically correct for, I don't know.
I don't know either.
So anyway,
I'm not so.
But he's got, you know, he was so big, he looked like he was 8 years old, and he was only 5.
Right.
You know, like 4 and 5 years old, he looked 3-4 years older than what he actually was, and so they assumed he had some kind of learning disability.
Right.
And kid's actually really sharp, but when you're that tall and that, you know, people assume that you're gonna act and behave one way when. It's just a little kid,
yeah.
You know, and I see that with a lot of people's kids nowadays. What's up with that?
Well, look at the 13-year-old boys that come in here that are 6 foot tall, little tiny patch of facial hair, and it's like, does he need a fishing license? Yeah, he needs a fishing license. You know his social security number? No, he's only 13. I'm like, oh, yeah. Hey, it looks like he's 18 or 19.
Yeah, you know, it's really weird.
Pretty bizarre.
I haven't seen this, let's see, back in the 80s, there was a big time when they had a lot of steroids in the chicken and, you know, right. Some of that stuff. There was a lot of steroids in the food.
Mm-hmm.
And something, because the kids would, they'd be 13, 12, and look like they were 20.
Yeah.
And we had a few years where the kids went back, but with the kids now, they're just, big, huge. I mean, when I was a kid, I had size 12 feet, and I was, you know, they call me Big Feet, you know,
right.
And tease me about how big my feet were. And now 12's like the middle size.
Right.
Wow. All right, Anger Pier.
Anger Pier, I've got nothing. Got the Tom Adams Bridge with guys catching sheep's head, but the actual pier itself, I've got nothing. Been a little quiet for that. I don't know why.
Venice?
A lot of sheep's head. The jetties up there, the guys are doing really well on sheep's head. Not a lot of giants, but very good numbers. A couple Spanish mackerel and a couple of pompano. But, you know, the sheep's head numbers are pretty healthy up there. It's just barely legal to a little over.
All right. I got to clean this up this week. I got so many back reports on here. It's getting huge.
Uh-oh.
All right. Gulf of Mexico.
I've got nothing really to speak of with the foul weather we've had this week.
Okay. Boca Raton Pass.
Let's see. Sheep's head. Some pompano. Some of the guys have been drifting through and catching some mangrove snapper on a couple of the mediocre weather days because they thought they were going to go offshore but couldn't. There's still been quite a few sharks being caught out there. Sandbars, some black tips, even a few more bonnet heads. And a couple guys have been catching a couple of oversized redfish during the day out there. And even just on the inside around the Phosphate Dock and the Boca Bay Docks, they've been catching quite a few redfish this week off of them. And most of those guys are sheep's head fishing and catching them by accident, so it's kind of funny.
Anything different in Captiva?
Captiva's been less redfish, but same amount of the sheep's head and oddballs.
All right. Anything on the beaches, walking the beaches?
Just the handful of sharks at different beaches from 1st, 17th, doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're going to go back to just walking the beaches. I'm going to change that next week. Sanibel?
Sanibel, the only thing I've gotten down there is the guy fishing underneath the Sanibel Causeway, and he got into a few whiting, a couple of trout, and he hooked one. He doesn't know what it was. It was a freight train. But he had a nice, enjoyable day down there. He just got wrecked quite a few times.
Okay. All right. Matt Lachey.
A lot of sheep's head down there. You know, the sheep's head have been pretty good off of that pier down there. And even the guys fishing out of their boats have been catching some up underneath the mangroves. It's been really quiet on everything else, so I haven't heard much for trout or redfish or snook.
Pine Island Sound.
Really good. Drifting any of those flats and deeper potholes, they're catching the trout, an occasional Spanish mackerel, an assortment of sharks. Guys are seeing tarpon down there sitting in some of those deeper sand holes. Not hooking them, but seeing them. And then along the bushes, basically some redfish and some snook. Heard of some big snook right there around Yuseppa and Cabbage Key. According to one guy, he said his buddy fishes out there pretty regularly, and he's been catching some decent fish in the early evenings right around sunset. I don't know if he lives out there or what, but he said his buddy fishes there all the time in the evenings and has a blast.
No, it's not that far if you live down there, Pine Island, there's somewhere right around there. Even Burnt Store is pretty close. Yeah. Trout Creek, Boquilla?
Boquilla, all I got is the Boquilla Pier. They've been getting a lot of sheep's heads still off of there. Gentleman was in the other day buying some fish bites and some frozen sand fleas to take down there because he's been doing well on them.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's rather annoying.
Yeah, I know. I'm going through the same thing. I'm sitting here sniffling. And I've even got my nose wipes here, but it still doesn't help.
Yeah. Coughed so hard I strained my neck the other night, and it still feels funny.
Harder than anybody I've ever met. You're just one of those people that when you go to cough, you put it all into there. I don't know what the heck that's about, but I was having my ear troubles, Robert would cough, and I would literally cringe. It was painful. He's just like, Robert doesn't do a lot of things halfway. He's all the way into it. All right, nice. Burnt store, Two Pines.
Well, let's see. There's a lot of snook and decent redfish from there, all that area. And then I've heard of a few pompano on the outside of the bar with a scattering of ladyfish. Whether or not it's been a little quieter than normal down there.
East side of the harbor.
Mixed barrage. There's been some bonnet heads and some pompano right there by the Pirate Harbor entrance and even up inside Pirate Harbor. And then the redfish are just scattered all the way up to Alligator Creek. I haven't heard much for snook or anything else along there, but getting some mixed reports on those decent-sized redfish. And, of course, in the back bays and the creeks, there's a lot of little rat reds with an occasional tiny trout. Nothing really spectacular. It's kind of funny, the last several months it always used to be like the east wall was the kind of hotter ticket. This year it seems to be the west wall being a little bit better ticket.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Did a little roll reversal this winter.
But this is the weirdest weather. I mean, hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold.
Right.
A week of, you know, weather in the 60s, low 70s, and then it's a week of 80s.
Yeah.
And then we go back to a few days of in the 60s, and then we go back to the 80s, and it's just... How are the fish ever supposed to figure out where they're supposed to be? I can't figure out what clothes to put on in the morning. I just put on my t-shirt, and then I grab a jacket just in case, because I don't know what the heck's going on.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
I go in the morning, I'm cranking the thermostat all the way to the right, get it all the way into the red, and then as I'm on my way home, I'm cranking it all the way into the blue to get it cool.
Yeah.
All the way to the right in the morning, all the way to the left in the evening. You know, jiminy crickets. It's the Southwest Florida twist. One way, then the other.
Right. All four seasons in a 24-hour period.
You got it. I don't know what they brag about up north. We can do it in a day.
Yeah.
Alligator Creek.
Let's see. They got some jacks up in there. Been some snook. Been some pompano at the entrance with a few redfish. And then there's also been some decent black drum and juvenile tarpon up inside the Burt Stork aisles, canals. They've been doing pretty decent in there. A few guys have been trolling through there and catching some small snook, but I haven't heard of any big, big jacks way up inside there this week.
Well, Ponce de Leon?
Yeah, the black drum. The mangrove snapper bite kind of picked up a little bit here and there. The jacks have been coming through sporadically. Been a few snook being caught out there. One guy's been wade fishing out front there, and he's been catching an occasional redfish with a couple of small trout, he said.
For redfish?
He's just wading out there fishing in general and casting little lures and sometimes shrimp, just catching a hodgepodge. Nothing spectacular, though.
PGI canals?
Just mainly heard about all the snook that guys are catching trolling through there and a whole lot of sheep's head, but it depends on which canal you're on. You know, the sheep's head have been pretty decent underneath the docks and along the seawalls. I think mostly we're hearing about a lot of those sheep's head because it's the fish of the month in the club, so I think that's one thing that everyone's kind of talking about seeing them.
Okay, Gilchrist Spear?
Got nothing there today.
Gray background makes it easier to read it, but it makes it really hard to find my cursor.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do the white background because it's so glaring on your eyes when you're trying to read the fishing report, so I just make the background gray, and God, it's tough to find the cursor. Alligator Creek Reef.
I got nothing. Nothing at all this week.
Deep holes in the harbor?
Same. Zero.
Freshwater.
Bass. A lot of guys buying shiners for the bass fishing this week. The lures are still kind of a study seller, but the shiners have been the ticket. 2 to 5 pound fish, North Port Canals, Port Charlotte. One guy was in here from, was that Tropical Gulf Acres? He said those lakes down there have started to really kind of get fired up in the last week. He's catching some big bluegill and bass down in there. And then another guy said he was catching some tilapia and bluegill over in the Webb Lakes and doing pretty good on those using wigglers, which is kind of nice to finally hear a couple mixed reports on the bluegill, because it's been so quiet with those the last pretty much year, except for like one here, 1 week here, but definitely one of the quieter seasons for bluegill. Doesn't make sense.
Not much stuff does. Any... I'm going to bring up a tarpon map here just because I should.
Okay.
All right, hang on. Brush size. Anything red dot?
No.
Anything yellow dot?
Nope.
Anything white dot?
You're going to see fish down there in the Pine Island Sound and up in the Peace and Myakka River, but they're just, you know, 50-50 maybe, I guess. But those are the only three places I'm hearing about them. Then it's all like Upper Myakka and Upper Peace and just that whole Pine Island Sound area.
Yeah. Yeah. Is what it is.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. That's weird. It's 2020.
Kids. Yeah, it is.
You know, I've been so used to 60 years of writing 19, you know?
Right. Richie just sent a text saying that they went 6 for 9 today up there.
And up on the river tarpon?
Yeah, and it's Barry's birthday. He managed to get 3 of them. Looks like about a 20-pounder in the picture. Yeah, somewhere between 15 and 20 pounds.
Oh, I'd say 20, 25.
Yeah? Pretty cool.
Okay, so I'm loading the fishing report up. Okay, that's going up on the internet right now, the written portion of it.
Okay.
And as soon as that's done, I'll load the... Okay, going up to get the tarpon map itself loaded up there. It's weird when you have to remember how you misspelled the name of the file.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, that's me. Okay, those are loaded. So, going back. All right. Start playing music. People can quit listening to sniffle and do stuff.
Right.
Boy, that seems loud. There you go. All right, any last words?
No, I hope everybody's being safe up there with all the snow and storms they're getting. And if you're down here, I hope you're enjoying the nice weather and getting out and taking advantage of what we got.
Wonderful place. And I'm
pretty blessed.
And this is probably not going to be a very popular statement, but love to have you. If you're moving to Florida, welcome here. Want to have you as a neighbor. Just consider when you're voting to maybe not vote for the same type of idiot that run you out of the state you used to love. So, anyway, love you all. Hopefully we'll see you here at the store. Bye-bye.